World culture resists bowing to commerce. The advocates of globalization would argue that free and open trade and an expansion of commercial relationships and activities of all kinds are the keys to a brighter future for all. The flaw in this premise lies in the misguided assumption that commerce spurs culture, when in fact the exact opposite is more often the case. The new cultural activists would argue that there is not an example in history where people first create commercial relations and then establish a culture. Commerce and government are secondary, not primary, institutions. They are derivatives of the culture, not the creators of it. People first establish a common language, agreed upon codes of behavior, and a shared sense of purpose, to wit, social capital. Only when cultures are well developed is there enough social trust to support commercial and governmental institutions. If the G8 leaders are united in their support of global commerce and trade, the civil society movement groups are just as committed to the idea of preserving local identity and enriching both biological and cultural diversity. Unfortunately, today, the cultural sector exists in a kind of neo-colonial limbo between the market and government sectors. Only by making local culture a coherent, self-aware political force will it be possible to re-establish its critical role in the scheme of human society once again. Indeed, it may be time to establish a world cultural organization to represent diverse cultures around the globe and give the WCO an equal footing with the World Trade Organization in international affairs. Some people worry that a resurgent interest in local cultures must inevitably lead to xenophobia and ultra-nationalist sentiment. That doesn't have to be so. If people everywhere come to think of their own cultural resources not as possessions to defend, but rather as gifts to exchange with one another, then the great human migrations of the 21st century could spawn a cultural renaissance and create the conditions for a truly humane globalization of commerce and trade. The ability of political leaders to identify with and promote both the interests of the civil society and cultural diversity will be critical to ensuring their relevance and viability in the coming century. This was the lesson being taught by the protesters assembling on the streets of Seattle. It's a lesson that is likely to repeat itself again and again. The question is, will the heads of state take the time to listen carefully to the message coming from outside their windows? If they don't, the escalating frustration is likely to play into the hands of the growing number of violence-prone extremists, with untold consequences for the world's future.